Radio 4. Afternoon Theatre.
Search for Satan by Val Gielgud. Adapted for radio by David H. Godfrey from the author's novel Fall of a Sparrow. With John Rowe as Anthony Haviland, Carol Boyd as Ingrid Berenius, and Douglas Blackwell as Samuel Sidney. Search for Satan.
I suppose the truth is that I was overexcited that evening. I had some cause for being so. I had spent 5 years of war in wearing the seats of my trousers shiny on a chair belonging to His Majesty's Ministry of Information. The chair had been hard. Although the job which it symbolized may have been necessary to the war effort, I had found it footling, and I'd found it dull. Certainly dull in contrast with what had been my secret activities of pre-war years. But life was not to be dull for long. I had received a communication from my godfather, General Boughton, to be prepared for an approach from any of three persons then occupying the interest of the British Security Service. Felix Lenartovich, Samuel Sidney, or Benedict Peters. With this possibility fixed firmly in my mind, on the evening of September the 7th, 1945, the Ministry of Information at last behind me, I walked out into Gower Street. Two desires were uppermost in my mind. To be stood a drink by somebody, and to stand somebody a drink.
You seem in a hurry, Mr. Haviland.
Felix Lenartovich! It must be years since we met.
It is indeed.
You were working for the Polish government when we last saw each other.
I still am, as a matter of fact. Though now the war is over, they have transferred me to the resettlement of refugees problem. Quite a task, I can tell you.
I'm sure.
What are you up to these days?
As a matter of fact, I'm not quite certain. Less than 3 minutes ago, I left the Ministry of Information for good.
You sound glad.
5 trousers-shining years in that setup is enough for anyone.
I see. You're going somewhere to celebrate, of course.
Exactly. If there was any place to go to, or anyone to go with. I was on my way to my club in the hope of collecting someone.
As it happens, I have a small party tonight at my flat. I still have a little vodka. Would it amuse you to come along?
I should be delighted.
Excellent. Number 7, Monk's Row. A mews between Sloane Street and Harrods. I'll expect you at about 9 o'clock, Mr. Haviland. Au revoir.
I look forward to seeing you. And thanks. Excuse me.
Yeah.
This is Monk's Row, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Have you any idea where I shall find number 7?
Oh, yes, just by the next lamppost. Street door's open. You can't miss it.
I'm much obliged to you. Thank you.
Now come along in, Mr. Haviland. Let me introduce you. Mr. Waters.
Hello there.
Mr. Sidney.
How do you do?
Mr. Peters.
Thank you.
And Miss Borenius.
How do you do?
Hello. This is Mr. Haviland. The vodka is on the table. Help yourself, my dear Haviland.
Oh, that's good of you.
Now then, come and sit by the fire and bring the bottle with you.
I don't want to rush things, Felix, but I think that we ought to get out of business straight away, that we told Mr. Haviland what it is we want of him.
Business? Oh, I didn't know that you wanted me on business.
Don't look so alarmed.
No, my dear fellow, there's no cause for dismay.
As you say, Waters, none at all, we assure you. You must forgive us, Haviland, but we, my friends and I, need help. And we believe that you are one of the very few people in this world who can give us that help.
Go on.
You were in Poland before the war, I believe, in rather strange circumstances.
I was, certainly.
And a somewhat sensational account of your experiences was published at the time.
It was?
The point, Felix, the point. Now, Mr. Haviland, please take this envelope.
We want you to find for us the man whose name is written on the paper inside that envelope. We think that he is in Poland.
You mean you want me to go on a wild goose chase to Poland?
We want you to go to Poland, certainly.
This is fantastic. To begin with, the man is dead.
We have reason to think not.
Anyway, how could I go to Poland at this moment?
That we can easily arrange.
Besides, for God's sake, why me?
You know Poland a little. You speak a smattering of the language, besides French and German. You once saw something of the man we want to find. We know enough of your professional record to rely on your capacities. You like foreign travel. You are at present at a loose end. Need I go on?
What's behind all this? Whom do you represent?
We represent no one but ourselves, Mr. Haviland.
And supposing I succeed?
That, Mr. Haviland, will be our business.
We might add that General Borton will have no objection, should you feel inclined to comply with our request.
I suppose I might have known it. I thought General Borton was in Cairo.
He flew back there yesterday after 24 hours in London. He was sorry to have had no chance of seeing you.
As you may know, General Borton happens to be my godfather.
We do.
And as you probably also know, he was, before the war, my employer.
We know that also, and that you have been well accustomed to doing what he told you. Even more to doing what he did not tell you, but nonetheless wanted done. There will be an opportunity for you to leave on a plane for Warsaw within the next few days. Perhaps I should add that any money you may need will be at your disposal.
Perhaps you should.
Now, my dear fellow, just one more for the road.
I think I need it.
Well, good hunting.
Thank you. Now, if you don't think me rude, I'll wish you all good night.
If you're really breaking up the party, Mr. Haviland, perhaps you would be kind enough to see me home.
Well, I should be delighted, Miss Berenius.
Thank you so much.
We are most grateful to you, Haviland.
Certainly we are.
I will telephone you tomorrow at noon. A plain yes or no will suffice. Meanwhile, take care of yourself and Ingrid.
It is most kind of you to accompany me, Mr. Haviland. These newses can be so dark.
I'm delighted to be of help. Take my arm. Oh. It's not far to Sloane Street.
What was that?
That, Miss Berenius, unless I'm much mistaken, was a double-edged knife. Which seems to indicate a taxi just as soon as we reach the main road.
Oh, Marvin Court is just up here on the left.
The next block on the left, driver.
Very good, sir.
Thank you very much, Mr. Haviland. Won't you come in for a drink?
Oh, it's nice of you, but it's rather late, isn't it?
Oh, not at all. It's only just after 11. Besides, aren't you curious?
Immensely. Look, you go on in while I deal with the cab. You'll get soaked standing out here.
Very well. I'll see you in a minute. So sorry to have kept you, but I thought this dressing gown would be more relaxing. Now, how about the whiskey?
That's good of you.
Soda?
Thank you.
There you are.
Oh, many thanks. What about you?
Oh, I'll have one too. Well, I think I should tell you a bit about myself. We shall be seeing a good deal of each other if you come to Poland.
You are going to Poland, Miss Berenius?
Yes, if I live so long. Ingrid Berenius is not my real name. Well, my real name doesn't matter. In any case, I'm only half Swedish. My mother was a Jewess. My husband was a German. Is, perhaps. I don't know.
You mean he...
I have had no word from him for over 7 years. I was married when I was just 19. He worked for the German government. One day he was told that he must divorce me because of my Jewish blood. He grew angry and resigned his position. That night, the Gestapo came for him. They took him away as he was, in his pajamas.
And you've never heard since?
I have never seen him again, and I have heard nothing. A fortnight later, it was my turn. First Auschwitz, then Dachau. You think I'm a good advertisement for the camps, Mr. Haviland? Apart from this. The branding iron was part of the ritual that greeted all newcomers to the camps. No, it was the other things that I could not endure.
I would have thought you'd endure just about everything.
No, not at all, Mr. Haviland. You look uneasy. There's no need to be. I'm not going to catalog you horrors. From Dachau, I was moved to a smaller camp outside Magdeburg. Its commandant, like myself, was half Swedish. I became his mistress. Cigarette?
Thank you.
He treated me well. Occasionally, I was able to influence him towards leniency, but I myself was loathed even more than he was. I would undoubtedly have been lynched, but the camp was relieved by the Russians. Gabriel Waters, whom you met tonight at Felix Ignatovich's flat, saved my life.
Waters? Well, I would have sworn that he...
He was a foreigner. No, English. He was a liaison officer with the Russian army.
But his accent?
He lived most of his life in Germany. During the war, he stayed there as an English agent until the last few months when he crossed the lines into Poland. I think he even served in the German army at one time.
That I could well imagine.
Gabriel Waters brought me to England. He was my lover for a few weeks, but later we parted. It was he who introduced me to another man you met tonight, Samuel Sidney. And here I am.
Well, thank you. But look, it's more than time I went home.
As you wish. But in this rain? You can't possibly go home tonight. You could stay here. That sofa's quite comfortable.
I can hardly do that.
Oh, why not? We're both grown-up people. Of course, if you prefer to get soaked to the skin for the sake of my non-existent reputation.
Well, if you put it like that...
That is how it is, isn't it? I'll get you a pillow and a couple of blankets. I won't be a moment. Mr. Haviland.
Yes? Oh, Miss Berenius.
I'm afraid you're finding it difficult to sleep.
Oh, don't worry about me. I shall soon settle down.
As you please. But my bed is much more comfortable, if you could bring yourself to share it.
I'm grateful for such an offer. An offer which I feel at this moment it would be churlish to refuse.
I am glad. Come along. Oh, now who can that be?
Oh, I'll go.
No. Help yourself to more coffee. I'll go. So impatient. I'm coming. Why, Sam, what are you doing?
Ingrid, forgive me, my dear, but... I expected to have a quiet breakfast with you alone.
I'm seldom good company at breakfast, but since you're here, you'd better come in.
The object of my visit, my dear Ingrid, was to give you further directions for Mr. Haviland. I was sure, of course, that you would be seeing him again soon, if not quite so soon as this.
Directions, Mr. Sidney?
Good morning, Mr. Haviland. I don't think we need bother to fence. You have presumably made up your mind, otherwise it is very unlikely the three of us would be in this room now. If you prefer suggestions to directions, I hasten to make the correction. The most important thing is that you should leave for Poland as quickly as the necessary arrangements can be made.
I don't think myself that it's primarily a matter of direction or suggestion. It's a matter of information. Now, I am quite prepared to go, but before I do, I want to know quite a number of things.
Well, I'm sure we can satisfy you on that score.
In the first place, why on earth should I go to Poland? I should have thought that Poland was the last place on earth where we might reasonably expect to find the man you're looking for.
And?
I should like to know why everyone at Felix Donatovich's party of last night is quite so interested in this quest.
Has Ingrid not explained?
We'll leave Miss Berenius out of it, if you please.
A little pompous, surely, Mr. Haviland.
Or old-fashioned, or even well-mannered. We won't argue about it.
As you like, Mr. Haviland. I am a Jew. Gabriel Waters is by profession a soldier. He may be an English soldier who pretended to be a German, or a German soldier who deceived the English. I neither know nor care. It is simply his profession, his métier, that is important.
Can you enlighten me on Mr. Peters?
Benedict Peters is most certainly a Cockney Englishman. He believes literally and without qualification in a 19th century gentleman by the name of Josiah Malachi Burke, who passed an obscure and godly life and whose outlook was strongly humanitarian. He wrote a book which impressed Mr. Peters, who discovered within its pages his own peculiar gospel for mankind. He founded a small society and became its secretary. Most humanitarians, within my experience, tend to violence. Mr. Peters is an extreme instance of this paradox. I imagine, Mr. Haviland, that Miss Borenius has told you her story.
She has.
Indeed. It will therefore be easily apparent to you what interest the four of us share in the future of the man whose name is written inside that envelope.
And just where does Felix Lenatovich himself come in?
Felix Lenatovich, like a number of unfortunate Poles, has no longer the prospect of a career. At the same time, he has probably good reason for preferring not to return to Poland. Briefly and brutally, he needs money. My associates and I can draw anything up to £50,000 if necessary to achieve our ends.
I see.
Don't think I'm offering to buy you, Mr. Haviland. I know better.
You mean you've bought Lenatovich?
If you care to put it that way, yes.
May I ask why?
Governments on the far side of the Elbe have few and inadequate contacts in Western Europe, Mr. Haviland. They are not above making use of their emigres to supply them. We believe that Lenatovich can get you your entree into Poland and the semi-official auspices, which should make your task a great deal easier.
But why the devil should the man you seek be in Poland?
The man of the rank we are looking for would be unlikely to sail to a South Pacific island, nor would he stay in Germany. But Poland might, we think, appeal to him.
Oh, then all that remains for me to do is to go out and get myself shaved.
I expect that you would prefer communications in future be made through Miss Berenius. You have no doubt given her your address?
No.
Not yet, but I will.
Thank you.
I am glad to see, my dear Ingrid, that you have learned how impossible it is to be too careful.
I shall be in most of this evening, Miss Berenius. Shall I hope to see you?
Soon, Mr. Haviland. Soon. Goodbye, and thank you.
Horrible tragedy in Knightsbridge. Horrible murder in Monk's Row. Paper, sir?
Oh, please.
Thank you, sir. Here we are, sir.
Thanks. Late last night, the body of a man was found in Monk's Row in the Knightsbridge district of London. The victim has not yet been identified, but he's believed to be a foreigner.
You changed, sir?
Oh, thank you.
Horrible murder in London. Body found in alleyway. Horrible murder in Monk's Row! Paper!
Mr. Anthony Haviland to see you, Inspector Murray.
Anthony, come along in. Oh, thank you, Carruthers.
Thank you, sir.
Well, sit down, Anthony.
Thank you.
Nice to see you. Cigarette?
Oh, thanks. What about you?
Oh, you know me. I'll stick to a pipe. Well, now, what can I do for you? Something to do with that business in Monk's Row last night.
How did you guess? Tell me, was the murdered man Felix Lenatovich by any chance?
Still jumping to conclusions, I observe. Who said anything about murder?
Now, come on, Andrew. Was it Lenatovich?
No. Some foreigner. No papers. A constable on his normal beat found the body lying just inside the passage which leads to Monk's Row. A sharp, two-edged knife had been driven upwards below the left shoulder blade. The body is now at Lucan Place Police Station. I think we might do worse than take a look at it. But I suggest we call in at Monk's Row on our way. What do you say?
I'm ready when you are.
Let's go.
He's probably out for the day.
Maybe. Anyway, it's as well to make sure.
Got your warrant?
I've got all that's necessary for this kind of expedition.
So it seems. Well, you go ahead. I just want a glance at these prints on the way up.
Very well.
Anything interesting?
Very. On the sofa.
Oh, my God.
Do I identify him?
Yes. It's Lenartovich, all right. Well, what's our next move?
Our next move is to be getting along to Lucan Place.
What, leaving things here like this?
Leaving things exactly like this, Anthony. The constable, already in Monk's Row, will see that nothing is disturbed before my men arrive.
You mean that you're not even going to search the place?
Oh, there's no need. I've already discovered the murderer.
Nonsense.
Do you remember the Bracken case?
Well, I can't say that
A young woman, Gwenda Bracken, found dead in bed. Stabbed exactly as your Polish acquaintance here has been stabbed. Her killer was a gangster from Detroit. We identified him in 48 hours, but owing to wartime conditions, he got away.
What was your killer's name?
Angelo Labriola. A nasty piece of work.
And is the murdered man in the alleyway Labriola?
No, probably some watchdog of your Polish friend.
Well, is there anything more to be done?
I think not. We'd better be making for Lucan Place and then back to the yard. Bring me all you've got on Benedict Peters, Samuel Sidney, and Gabriel Waters, will you? Yes. Yes, that's right. Yes, as soon as you can. That's it. Thanks.
Well, Andrew?
Well, with present conditions, the job's somewhat complicated. If I could only get a few more men, I could deal with it, and I could deal with Labriola. Oh, we'll now see if records have been doing anything to live up to their reputation.
Are you short of staff there, too?
Indeed we are. Oh, come in.
On Benedict Peters, sir. At a glance, there seems to be quite a collection. Samuel Sidney, just a note stating there's a resident alien.
And Waters?
Sorry, sir, not a thing.
All right, Carruthers. Many thanks.
Thank you, sir.
That's Sidney, all right. Speaks English like a native, travels on an Egyptian passport. Not much help any of that.
What about Peters?
I'm just coming to him. Demonstrations in Hyde Park, 3 separate charges. Finally jailed.
Also not very helpful.
No. Are you sure that Leonard Tovitz or his friends gave you to understand that General Borton would approve of your taking on this assignment?
Positive. What do you suggest now?
I suggest you sleep on it, Anthony. There's a proverb about going to bed early and keeping healthy, remember? You'd best heed it.
I will.
Can I help you, sir?
Yes, I think you can. I'm to meet a Miss Berenius and a Mr. Sidney here.
Mr. Sidney is seated at the table in the alcove, sir.
Oh, yes. Thank you very much.
Ah, Mr. Haviland.
Good evening.
Very good of you to come. A cocktail?
Yeah, sherry, if you please, Mr. Sidney. Dry.
Admirable. One dry sherry, please.
Very good, sir.
I'm afraid that Miss Berenius is going to disappoint us.
I see. In other words, you just threw in her name for bait.
I confess that I don't consider my own society so irresistible. You'll forgive me for having ordered dinner.
I preferred it.
I trust that a bottle of champagne won't underline your suspicion of my motives.
So long as you beg them not to freeze it to death.
You know, Mr. Haviland, you have risen to my expectation in a quite remarkable way.
I'm gratified.
I place no great faith in Lenartovich's judgment, but then I'm inclined to be prejudiced about Paul's being a Jew. I wanted proof of your common sense. When you visited Scotland Yard today, you provided that proof.
You know that I went to Scotland Yard?
That sees itself, as the French say. I like French. A lucid language.
Your sherry?
Ah, your sherry.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Well?
Mr. Haviland, speaking entirely for myself, I was not looking for an adventurer to help me in this business, but for a sensible, capable man. You showed yourself to be both when you told your story to Inspector Murray.
You're very kind.
You're also showing at this moment that you can keep your mouth shut. That, too, is valuable.
So I have been told.
By your godfather, General Borton, no doubt. I take it, in spite of your discretion, that neither the inspector nor the general, speaking by proxy, warned you off.
I was advised to mind my own business.
Particularly if that business happens to be theirs as well as yours and mine.
This is becoming altogether too involved, Mr. Sidney.
You must forgive me, Mr. Haviland, if I don't agree with you. My associates have their own point of view, and on many occasions follow the paths of violence. That is not my way. We are, nevertheless, hunting a man who owes his greatest debt to the Jewish nation. I intend it to be paid to me.
I see.
Exactly what passed between you and Inspector Murray, I don't know. But I do know, as you do, of the untimely decease of our friend Lenatovich. Now, I don't want you to be distracted by red herrings, Mr. Haviland. You can leave Labriola to Inspector Murray and to me.
That's kind of you.
If you'll call at the Polish embassy tomorrow morning, your visa will be ready for you.
I'd like to hear on what grounds that visa is being granted.
You are a friend of the humanitarian Mr. Benedict Peters, if you remember. You are visiting the New Poland to investigate conditions there from the humanitarian and sociological standpoint. A plane leaves for Warsaw via Berlin tomorrow. I trust that you will find it convenient to take it.
Mr. Sidney, since I first met you last evening in Lenatovich's flat, there have been a couple of cases of sudden and violent death. Felix Lenatovich himself and that poor devil of a watchdog of his in the alleyway, to say nothing of an attempt on my life as well. Can you assure me that these deaths have no connection with your so humanitarian Mr. Peters and his Malachite Society?
It was not the watchdog who made an attempt on your life, my dear Haviland. It was Labriola.
How do you know?
Because I was the last of the party to leave Lenatovich's flat last night. Because I saw Labriola outside the flat as I did so. Because Labriola was being paid by me.
Why, you?
I said so. I had found out, you see, that Lenatovich was about to betray us. Therefore, his immediate liquidation was necessary.
Well, how did you find that out?
Through Peters, who, apart from his humanitarian enterprises, is also connected with a fascist group to whom he was prepared to sell our scheme.
But, my God, Labriola!
Labriola, my dear Haviland, is, technically speaking, a perfect piece of killing machinery. Inspector Murray will find in his morning mail all that is necessary to put that gentleman away for life. You can forget about Labriola.
I wonder if I can. You can't imagine, I suppose, that it might cross my mind to wonder whether you don't intend to treat me as you have treated Labriola.
I follow your line of thought entirely, Haviland, but the answer is, for a number of reasons, an emphatic no.
I'm relieved to hear it.
If, of course, you persist in your disbelief and on that score decide to resign from the venture, that is entirely your affair.
Entirely, Mr. Sidney.
Get off!
What's going on? Is the man dead?
I think there's no doubt, Ingrid.
You'd better go inside and lie down. I'll bring you some whiskey in a couple of minutes.
Oh, don't be silly. Where will you be with a corpse at your front door and blood all over the place?
Never mind that. You just go in. Benedict Peters is there.
Oh, very well.
Now, that's it, Mr. Haviland. Now, you just lie quite still on the couch for a few minutes.
Peters,
What?
Feeling better?
Yes.
Good. Now, stay there for a minute or two.
But the body and the blood...
All taken care of. I'll just take this bowl back.
You feel strong enough to stand?
Oh, yes, thank you.
Then come and look for yourself. Now, give me your arm.
It's all right, Peters. I can manage.
There, you see? The absence of carpeting carries with it advantages. Nothing to be seen.
So I see, but...
Now, I suggest you come and drink your whiskey with an unclouded mind. After you.
But where's the body?
In the bathroom. Here's your drink.
Well, thanks. I suppose you know what you're doing.
I think so.
Was it Labriola?
It was. I hope that quiets your conscience. It may interest you to know it was Ingrid and me he was after tonight. And Samuel Sidney sent him.
And why should I believe you rather than Mr. Sidney?
Ah, Ingrid. All clear?
Except in the bathroom, yes.
You see, nothing in the world to worry about. Now listen. Labriola's body is in the bathroom and there it will stay until removed by the police. Here's your passport with the necessary visa and a special letter from the Polish Ministry of Education and Culture. Also your plane reservation. You leave from Hendon tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock.
How the devil...
I have ways of getting things done.
And what makes you so certain that I'm taking your damn plane?
Because Ingrid will be on the plane. You'll get more specific instructions in Berlin from Gabriel Waters.
What's all this about Berlin? I thought I was going to Poland.
You are, in good time. But the trail starts in Berlin.
Well, Ingrid, I suppose we'd better find out about accommodation if we're to spend the night here. Berlin these days, I imagine, hasn't much to offer.
Hello. Oh, I think you remember me. We met in Felix Lenartovich's flat the other evening. My name is Gabriel Waters.
Of course.
Might I ask if you and the lady are going to Warsaw?
We are.
Well, again, I hope you'll forgive the impertinence, but I've been given an introduction to the commandant of this airport. He's offered to send me to Berlin by jeep so that I can see something of the city. There are two spare places. If you would care to come, I should be delighted.
Oh, thank you. Personally, I should love to.
Splendid. Well, I'm afraid we must get off more or less straight away, though. It can be a dangerous journey after dark. We'll meet downstairs, shall we?
You want to watch where you're walking. This part of Berlin had it pretty badly.
Yeah.
Now, hang on a minute. Here's the place on this corner. The name of the man we are going to see is Schilder, Franz Schilder. I knew him well during the days after I was transferred from the army to the SS. He lost a leg as a result of wounds. He knows, if any man does, if your mission is likely to succeed.
Well?
We're going in to ask him a few questions.
How are you, Franz?
I am tired. Give me some water.
I think a drop of whiskey would help you more. Here you are.
Thank you.
Franz, you remember me, don't you? Gabriel? Gabriel Wasser?
Yeah.
You remember April the 30th, 1945, don't you?
Yeah.
I want you to tell me what happened that day here in the center of Berlin. There's no longer any reason why you shouldn't tell me, Franz, is there?
No, I will tell you. But in case I get too tired before the end of my story, I can assure you that your mission will not be in vain. You will find the man. You front.
Before you go, Haviland, I have written on this piece of paper the name of the man who is your contact in Warsaw. The name Franz Schelder gave us.
Oh, thank you. Kazimir Chodzko, Marzalkowska 793.
Yes, he is your man. Tell him you came from me.
I will.
If he's not there, someone who is should be able to put you on his track. At any rate, it's worth trying.
I think we should be moving out to the plane. I can see an official there waving. Goodbye, Gabriel. And thank you for your help.
Goodbye, Ingrid. Take care of yourself.
And you.
Goodbye, Waters.
Goodbye.
Ladislas? It is Ladislas.
Ladislas, yes. Who are you? Anthony.
Fancy meeting you here. What are you doing with yourself these days?
Oh, just keeping the wolf from the door. We can't talk here. Perhaps you'd care to visit my place. It's a little more than a shack, I'm afraid, but it keeps the rain out.
I'll be glad to.
It's only half a mile from here. We go this way. I'm afraid I can't hurry much these days. You must forgive me.
Of course, Ladislas. Oh, it's nice to see you. You lead the way.
Mm. The vodka may be better at the Polonia, but one can talk more easily here. You don't mind sharing the tankard?
Not at all. What a handsome object.
Yes, I stuffed it into my haversack the day war was declared. It was Barbara's wedding present to me.
Is Barbara in Warsaw?
She's dead, I hope. She was deported to Siberia early in 1940. I know something of the camp to which she was taken. I pray to God every night that she may be dead and at peace.
And what about you?
You can see for yourself. Well enough. I'm lucky, with a roof over my head.
Tell me, Ladislas, what happened?
Take a drink first.
Oh. Oh, that stuff can't be good for you.
It takes the edge off things. Well, what do you want to know?
Anything you may care to tell me about a man called Kazimir Chodzko. Hmm? I think he may be able to help me.
Chodzko?
Yes.
Chodzko can't help you.
Oh, how can you be so sure?
Because he's dead. He knew something. They caught him 10 days ago and he was shot trying to escape, of course. I wish they'd think up a new explanation just for once.
You said Chodzko knew something, Ladislas.
Nothing to put a finger on, really. Some Nazi high-up had apparently got out of Berlin at the last moment and... But, look, Haviland, I'm sorry, but I'm no good to you. I'd like seeing you, but don't come here again. It'll only mean trouble and... You do understand, don't you? I can't face trouble any longer.
Anthony Haviland, of all people.
Ah, Peters. Are you staying in Zurich long?
Oh, it depends.
Mr. Haviland?
Yes?
Your key, sir. Room 139.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Haviland, my dear chap. This calls for a celebration. The porter can take up your bag. I wouldn't have believed my eyes. You must let me buy you a drink. Come on through. The bar's this way. Ah, that's better. Well, chin chin.
Cheers.
Thank God you're here.
Where's Ingrid? She left a message in my room back in Warsaw in which she merely said, seen Peters, following to Zurich, Catalan Hotel. And here I am.
Now, you needn't fuss. Ingrid's upstairs in her room. Look, I think it's time for a spot of plain speaking.
Then answer me two plain questions. Why did you want to bring Ingrid here to Zurich, and how did you induce her to come?
I wanted her out of Poland to save her life and yours. I induced her to come very easily. Her husband is here.
Her husband? I find that hard to believe.
You leave that aside for the moment. Now listen to me. Ingrid and Waters and you and I have been taken for a ride in the biggest possible way, and we are not out of the wood yet, not by chalks.
By Sydney?
By Mr. Samuel Sydney and Howe.
Well, how?
Sam Sydney is a bigger proposition than I ever imagined. You remember that night Labriola died?
I'm hardly likely to forget it.
Well, perhaps not. But that's when I got onto it, after your little adventure. And I had time to do quite a bit of thinking. But the first thing that struck me was that the Labriola business didn't make sense whatever way you looked at it. Unless Sam had meant to happen what did happen. He knew perfectly well that if he put Labriola on our trail, either we or Labriola would die. I think he hoped and expected it would be Labriola. If Ingrid and I became involved in the killing of Labriola, it meant that we would be in trouble with the police, or vice versa. In other words, Sam had decided to shop the lot of us.
I see.
I began to remember just how our little gang had come together. It was Sam Sydney who collected us. It was Sam who brought us to Lenatovich. And it was Sam who paid and protected Labriola. It was Sam, in the first place, who suggested we all had something in common. And it was Sam who pulled you in through Lenatovich.
Nonsense. I ran into Lenatovich casually walking across Hanover Square.
You can take my word for it that Lenatovich simply took an opportunity. He'd been told by Sam to get hold of you on the first chance he got.
But why, for heaven's sake?
That was the question. Samuel had tied us up in this precious game of his by finding us a common interest. To hunt down a leading war criminal.
Well?
I began to wonder whether we mightn't all perhaps have something else in common. Something that Sam Sydney didn't like quite so much. I thought Sam's background might bear looking into. So I looked.
And what did you find?
Oh, I found a clever man, Haviland. As a Zionist, he travels on an Egyptian passport because Cairo is his base. But he made a slip over Cairo all the same. Did you guess it?
Lenatovich mentioned my godfather, General Borton, being in Cairo.
Smart, damn smart, I call it. I knew you couldn't be as dumb as you looked.
Thank you.
That was what hooked you, wasn't it? You got the notion that General Borton was giving you the nod that's as good as a wink all the way from Egypt. But it was Sam that told Lenatovich to give you that nod, not the General.
But what's his real game?
More than was in that file you saw in Scotland Yard. You were in the service yourself once upon a time.
Do you mean to say...
Now, don't
that
mistake
you...
me, Haviland. I'm a genuine Malachite, and don't question my sincerity or we shall quarrel. I am, nonetheless, a secret agent, just as you were once. And I flatter myself that that police record of mine is about the finest piece of genuine cover that a chap ever built up for himself. And at his own suggestion.
Good Lord.
Now, at the beginning of this business, I thought, like you, it would be the scoop of my life to hand over a top-ranking Nazi war criminal neatly packaged and labelled for transport to Nuremberg. Which squared perfectly with my convictions, too. Which was what Sam had counted on. He knew about my convictions and my police record. But he didn't know that I was a spy. Just as I didn't know that there was something behind his cover.
Yes, but...
All right, I'm coming to it.
I'm all ears.
Samuel Sydney is the executive head of the European organization which ships illegal Jewish immigrants and contraband arms into Palestine. Now, do you see?
No, I'm afraid I don't.
Then you're not quite so smart after all. What was Waters doing in Germany? High-grade military intelligence? What had Ingrid been up to? Inquiring after the fate of her husband who'd been concentration camped as a Jew? Now, isn't it possible that between them, they might have got rather too close to finding out things that might have been awkward for Sam? Waters is an efficient fellow. I needn't talk about Ingrid.
No, I don't think you need.
Very well. Sam wanted money from me, or rather from the Malachites.
But where the devil do I come in?
He presumably knew your connection with General Borton. When you resigned from the Ministry of Information, he may have put two and two together.
And made half a dozen.
Or worse as maybe. But there was something else to worry him. Didn't you have a colleague in the ministry called Chalmers?
Yes, Tony Chalmers.
Mm. What happened to him?
He was seconded to the Palestine government as a PRO.
Yeah. He's still out there?
Yes, he is. In a grave outside Tel Aviv. He was shot in his car by mistake for someone else.
You corresponded after he'd gone to Palestine?
Well, now and then. There's no secret nonsense going on between us.
I believe you, but I doubt if our Mr. Sydney would.
Now, he's planning some damn big show. He thought there were half a dozen people who might, for one reason or another, be getting too close to him to be safe.
And so he mocked up this yarn about high-up Nazi war criminals to turn our attention elsewhere.
That's how it began, if I'm right. But things got a little out of hand. So he made up his mind to get rid of the lot of us. He's not done too badly, either, come to think of it. But I imagine you'd like to see Ingrid. She is expecting you. And I think she needs you rather badly.
I'm sorry, Anthony, but I knew you were distressed and I had to come after you. You look so wretched.
To see anyone so maimed as your husband is... You must forgive me, Ingrid, but the shock of seeing him has been considerable.
I understand. Did Peters convince you?
Oh, I'm not sure. I can't help feeling that we may have been getting a trifle warm in Warsaw. I suppose that it's Peters and not Sidney who's on the other side. Or at any rate, playing a game of his own.
Is that what you want to believe, Anthony?
Well, no, but I'm not in government service any longer. It's not my business to worry about Zionist immigration, legal or the reverse. Peters and my godfather, for all I care, can find someone else to do their dirty work.
But is it so dirty? Go for a walk and think it over. Forgive me, but my husband can't be left for long. I must get back to the hotel.
You seem to be deep in thought, Anthony. Perhaps you need to be.
Andrew! What the hell are you doing here?
There's a small matter of extradition to be gone into.
Extradition?
Murder, you know, is an extraditable offence. Oh, have you by any chance a match?
Always ready to oblige.
Thanks. There was a body called Labriola. Now, if I take you back, Anthony, you'll be acquitted.
Just what do you mean by that?
Well, exactly what I say. I can take you back to England on a clearly specified charge. That is, supposing you want to go back.
I'd like to talk things over first. But isn't this rather oppressively in the public eye?
Yes. If we want to talk privately, the Railway Tavern would seem to be a good choice. And anyway, I have a fancy to sample their beer. How about it?
You'd better lead the way. Now, what's all this about coming to take me home, Andrew, as if I were a bad little boy?
You'd not be thinking you've bitten off more than you can chew.
Well, I fancy that you can answer that better than I can.
Well, I've a good notion of what happened in Berlin and Warsaw. You can skip that part of it.
Now, listen to me, Murray. What's getting me down is simply that we never get anywhere in this damn maze. It's just one dead end after another. Each trail ends in a blank wall. Now, can you tell me this? Is a single person in this whole shooting match what he or she pretends to be? Lenatovich made himself out to be an old-fashioned Polish patriot, and he was, in fact, a paid crook. Samuel Sidney called himself a Zionist, and Benedict Peters called himself a Malachite. Now, I'm told, one is running hell ships to Palestine, and that the other is an agent in our service. Waters as good as admits that he's hardly sure himself whether he's an Englishman or a German, and implies that he hardly cares, so long as he can be a soldier. Miss Berenius
is married and her real name isn't Berenius.
Exactly. You better tell me whether I'm really Anthony Haviland or a travelling film director who's got lost in the middle of one of his own scripts.
Well, I'll try and sort things out for you a little. Peters works for the service all right to begin with.
Couldn't you have told me that in the first place?
I could not. I didn't know. You see, Peters is an individualist. He believes in private enterprise. It's often been so private that nobody's been made aware of it until the dividend has been declared. But he's working for us all right. And he's as clever as a bag full of monkeys, so you should keep a grain or two of salt handy when he's around.
I see.
Waters, well, he's probably a little mad. Lenatovich and Labriola are dead meat, and so don't signify. And we end with Mr. Samuel Sidney.
So what about Mr. Samuel Sidney?
You want to know the answer to that question, Anthony? So does General Boughton. So do I. Very much indeed. There's a great deal more to our Mr. Sidney than meets the eye.
I could understand the job I was offered in Monk's Row, in spite of its fantastic and improbable side. But come clean, Murray. Am I still on the war criminal hunt? Or was that just a piece of cheese to lure me back into the great game?
The great game?
Well, Kipling used that expression before me.
It's about time you reread Kim. I'm suggesting to you that if your real objective is the organization of illegal immigration into Palestine, then I don't fancy the setup.
You don't?
No, I'm damned if I do.
I'm thinking more and more often, Anthony, that it's the reading of sensational fiction that's the curse of our profession.
I'm not sure that I get you.
You want everything in primary colors, for choice in black and white. Now, don't mistake me, Anthony. I like my bedside reading, but in this business, it's no good demanding that degree of simplicity. You can't have it, and you know you can't.
And just what the hell do you want me to do now?
From now on, you should concern yourself strictly with matters relating to Mr. Samuel Sidney and his affairs.
Considering that the said Mr. Sidney may be anywhere at this moment on the surface of that considerable land mass between Moscow and the Azores...
If you look half right, you can see in that wall mirror the second entrance to this establishment and about 2 square yards of the area immediately beyond it. Mr. Sidney is at present occupying most of those 2 square yards. Don't look now. Good hunting. Don't leave anything behind. And please forgive me if I dash off now and leave you to pay the bill.
Oh. Why does Murray always have to speak in riddles? Don't leave anything behind. Oh. Means this, I suppose. Enclosed. Special pass signed by the representatives of the powers occupying Austria, enabling you to pursue your occasions without let or hindrance, and a small identity label to enable you to establish rapport between yourself and others whom you may suspect of being engaged in a similar operation as yourself. Very thoughtful of him. So, I'm not washed up after all. Yet.
So there you are, Haviland. I've been watching your approach through the crowd for some time. What the devil are you doing in Zurich?
I might ask you the same question, Waters.
Very well, only I might first ask you to close the door. I only left it open onto the street to get some air, and then I saw you coming. You were getting quite warm in Warsaw, you know. Why did you chuck in your hand?
Couldn't Samuel Sidney tell you, or Miss Berenius?
Frankly, I prefer my information from the horse's mouth. Have a glass of beer, Haviland.
Oh.
It must be hot walking uphill on a day like this.
I can certainly do with a drink. Thanks.
Good. There you are. We couldn't very well meet on that blasted station platform, could we?
But you could meet Sidney. I saw you.
Look, you may as well tell me. Have you given the whole thing up? Did you get cold feet?
What I need to know exactly is what you mean by the whole thing.
Ah.
And incidentally, I should like to know where Sidney and Miss Berenius have got to.
You don't disappoint me, Haviland. I am delighted to see you again.
Just what is this place, Mr. Sidney?
You are being a curious young man. I live in this villa from time to time when the spirit moves me. It is quiet and comparatively off the beaten track, and I thought it was time we four had another little chat.
Yes. It's about time we all knew where we stand in this business.
I entirely agree with you.
We can cover the first part without Ingrid. She'll be down in a moment. It's never worth talking about money in front of women, just as very few of them can spell, so practically none of them have any head for figures.
Money?
Yes. On this subject, I have acquired what might be called a modest competence during the course of my life. That I have managed to do so can be attributed only to my consistent application to one principle. When an investment ceases to pay a satisfactory dividend, liquidate it. I have invested quite largely in you, Haviland.
You know quite well that I've never taken a penny of your money.
You will hardly deny that Peters paid for your flight to Berlin, that Waters here provided the necessary foreign currency for your excursion to Warsaw, and indeed for your journey here as far as that goes. You won't pretend that you believe they did it out of their own pockets.
I accepted a definite assignment which you offered to finance. It wasn't my fault that I did so under false pretenses. You can have your money back within 24 hours of my return to England, and you know it.
Mr. Haviland, you will spoil my good opinion of you if you persist in willful misunderstanding. I want a straight answer. Have you made up your mind to abandon our assignment? Because if so...
You propose to liquidate me?
I have been forced most reluctantly to contemplate so doing.
Look here. You send me on a wild goose chase half across Europe. You threaten my life, and then you have the damned impudence to ask for explanations. If anybody's to start giving straight answers, I suggest it's up to you to begin.
Why the devil did you leave Warsaw?
Gabriel is not pleased with you, Haviland. He is under the impression that you abandoned a warm scent on account of the movements of a lady. In fact, you are altogether too much interested in our dear Ingrid.
There was nothing in Warsaw except rubble, blank walls, and dead men.
Are you pretending that you didn't follow Ingrid to Zurich?
I followed Peters as much as Ingrid.
Knowing that Peters was a British special agent?
Knowing nothing of the kind.
We hardly progress, do we?
We shall never progress, as you call it, unless you tell me the truth, the real truth, now. Or let me get the hell out of the whole business.
To tell what you know to Inspector Andrew Murray?
To do just what I damn well please.
That does, of course, complicate things.
I might have known it was just another of your tricks, Sam.
You might. It was necessary, Ingrid, to get you to come here.
Baiting the trap with a non-existent doctor who might be able to do something for my husband. No doubt you're proud of your success.
Sufficiently. Though I would point out that the doctor is by no means non-existent. He is sitting in this chair, and this villa is leased in his name. I am incidentally qualified, though I hold no English degrees.
What are you going to do, Anthony?
I'm going to take you back to your hotel.
Oh, that is, I fear, quite out of the question.
It would be more to the point if you would say what it is you want me, us, to do. Or have you made up your minds to killing?
I'm afraid you have a disposition incurably melodramatic. You ought to know by now that I detest violence in any form.
Possibly as a result of your association with Benedict Peters?
Peters is a rat, the worst mistake I ever made. Better leave him out of it, Haviland. I want one thing from you.
Well?
I want you to get on with your job.
Fishing for the reddest of herrings? I don't think so, somehow.
You've been listening to Peters bleating about me and militant Zionism.
And if I have?
You know him for a crank. And if Waters and I are crooks, what is he? You believe him and call us liars, is it fair?
And what do you want, Waters?
I want you to leave Ingrid alone, for good.
And you have 2 minutes to agree.
And if I don't?
Oh, don't be such a bloody fool.
You can have a few moments to yourselves. Come on, Gabriel.
Yes.
We'll leave them to think this over.
Ingrid! Ingrid!
Thank you. Sorry.
Oh, so am I. It looks as if we're going to be even sorrier. But we haven't time to think about that now.
I must get back to my hotel, Anthony. I can't bear to think of my husband all alone like that.
Now, Peters will look after him.
Peters wasn't there when I left. The note about the doctor was signed by him. Otherwise, I wouldn't have come.
Well, you've decided to be sensible, I hope.
I'll bargain with you.
I've always enjoyed bargaining, Haviland. The terms?
That you let Ingrid go back to the hotel, and that from now on you leave her and her husband out of your schemes.
And if I agree?
I'll take up my original assignment. I'll even go on running in blinkers, if that's what you want.
How do you know that I'll keep my side of it?
Because it'll be worth your while. And because you can be certain that if you don't, I'll break your fat neck.
Yes, I think I can be certain of that. I'm afraid that Gabriel Waters will insist on escorting Ingrid back to the hotel, just to make sure she gets there, of course.
I'm not afraid of him, and he knows it.
Then the matter arranges itself, as the French say. If you'll come upstairs with me, Haviland, we'll proceed to the next stage. I'm sure you won't mind it being a costume piece.
I don't mind what it is, so long as we get on with it.
Well, the thing is, we believe, we are practically certain, that the dog has returned to his vomit.
Meaning that your quarry has gone back to Austria?
Precisely. You must look for him there. And this time, we expect you to find him.
And how exactly do I begin?
You begin in a moment by changing your clothes. Transport will be my business. But first, I don't want you to take any needless risks. I am going to give you an anti-typhus injection.
Is that really necessary?
I don't think you believe me when I told you that I am a qualified doctor. Roll up your left sleeve, please. That's it. Now, you'll hardly notice this. There. That should take care of everything. That should take care of everything. That should take care of everything. That should take care of everything.
Huh? Where the hell? What's happening? Sidney, what the hell is this? My clothes, where are they?
Look, he's coming round at last.
Where am I?
On a good train.
Yes, I've guessed that much. Where is it going?
We're not really sure. But we're all Jews on our way to Palestine. We'll probably go by ship from some Bulgarian or Romanian port.
We seem to be slowing down.
I can't be there yet, surely. This must be one of the stops they promised us.
Judging by the smell, they don't stop often enough.
No, they haven't stopped for the last 7 hours. It's not so bad for the men, but the women. Look at that poor soul over there.
Right, turn away, can't you? Can't one have a moment to oneself? Turn away.
See what I mean?
We do indeed.
Everybody outside.
10 minutes
only, and then back. Any delays
will
only delay you all.
Oh, fresh air,
lad. Oh, the
breeze. This is Brooke. You're stopping here for 10 minutes for refreshment. And something you'll probably need more. And it's on the next platform. Get to it. Only 10 minutes. Anybody still in here? The train's leaving.
Everything seems quiet now. We'll just have to take a chance.
Peter?
Forgive me, sir. I am an Englishman.
Yes?
Oh, I have neither money nor clothes, well, those I stand up in, and I must get to Vienna. Will you help me?
It will be a pleasure for me. You see, I was educated at Cambridge. And... but do come in out of this wind.
Oh, you're most kind. Thank you.
Let me see, what was I saying? Ah, yes, Cambridge. Oh, it must be 20 years since I was in England. You will please come through and tell me your story while you have some food and drink. Is the wine to your liking?
It's excellent, sir.
I am gratified. But let me introduce myself. My name is Leopold Franz Schwarzenberg.
Mine is Anthony Haviland.
I am delighted to welcome you to my house, Mr. Haviland. I fear I can offer you neither a cigar nor cigarettes. You are presumably aware of the state of the tobacco market in Central Europe. I can, however, find you a bed.
Well, I'm most grateful. The fact is, however, I'm not sleepy, but only leg-weary.
Oh, I am glad. It is so long since I had the opportunity of talking with an Englishman that I am tempted to take advantage of you.
I'm in your hands.
And I in yours, Mr. Haviland. But be sure, I will do what I can for you. I can feed you. I can also shelter you for a little. I can let you have money, if my money still has any value, which I am inclined to doubt. For the rest...
You ask me for no account of myself, Herr Schwarzenberg.
If you are a scoundrel, you will lie. If you are an honest man, you may have the best of reasons for keeping your mouth shut. In accepting you as honest, I am only indulging myself. In any case, it has been my chief principle in life to mind my own business.
I am afraid I am as curious as most other people.
Oh, I am only too delighted to talk about myself, if that's what you mean. Cross-examine me by all means.
Well, I'll take you at your word, then. What is this place?
It was built by my grandfather, Otto. He had a passion for fairy castles. This is the best he could do, with resources comparatively limited.
Forgive me, but I should have thought that Vienna or Paris would have suited you better than this isolated Corinthian mountaintop.
Certainly it would. But I repeat, there was no money. And in Vienna, the police authorities were as narrow-minded as... forgive me, your own police showed themselves to be in the case of Oscar Wilde. So, up here, I may be an impoverished seigneur, but I am seigneur for all that.
What happened during the war?
I was too old for service. I had a company of soldiers billeted here for a time, resting after a campaign against Tito's partisans. They failed to retreat in time and were trapped by the Russian advance. It was then that I experienced the sight of my picture gallery used as a rifle range, and my choice wines puddling the base of my terrace wall. The Russian commander then chose to billet himself here and to shift his men to the village below.
You mean he's here now?
Oh, dear me, no. I killed him.
Killed him?
What else could I do? He used my books as though they were marks as pamphlets or toilet paper. He stuffed my Mozart scores into the stove and raped one of my servant girls and would have raped the other had I not managed to smuggle her out of the place in time. Oh, he was impossible.
Well, how on earth did you manage to dispose of him?
I am something of a cook, Mr. Haviland. I made what I flatter myself was an excellent curry. And, the comrade colonel's digestion was unequal to the strain.
I see.
There is a disused well in the corner of the garden. He was abominably heavy. Oh, but forgive me. I told you I might take advantage of you. You look tired.
Yes. Oh, please don't think me rude, but if I may, I think I will borrow that bed you kindly suggested for a few hours.
Of course, of course. I told you this might happen. But have no fear. You can sleep in peace. I will show you the way if you care to follow me. I trust you slept well, Mr. Haviland. Hmm? I thought you might like a cup of tea.
Oh, thank you.
I apologize for rousing you, but I doubt if you would be wise to remain here.
Oh?
I fear that the Russians are after you. No doubt you know why, and I ask no questions. But it seems that a refugee train on its arrival at Graz was found to be one short of its quota. The countryside is being searched at this moment. One of the militia called here.
Was the missing man described?
Not very precisely, fortunately for you. I have been thinking over your problem. You spoke of your need of clothes last night. Mine would hardly fit you. But the comrade colonel was, like yourself, an upstanding young man. I think his uniform would fit you. I have it here.
Oh, I'm sure it will. I don't know how to thank you.
And there is this... I hope you know about these things. I believe it to be loaded. And there's this money.
But I can't.
You can pay me back through the Allied Control Commission in Vienna, if you like. But I assure you I shan't miss it.
Why are you doing all this for me?
Because I was so happy in England. And because I hate the bloody Muscovites.
Here, watch your speed, Corporal. I'm dislocating my spine.
Sorry, sir.
That's better. Ah, now look out for that Rusky. Hello, he seems to be flagging us down. And what can I do for you, sir?
I wondered if you could possibly help me on my way to Vienna. I have business with the Inter-Allied Control Commission, and my transport's let me down.
Well, I'm on my way to Vienna myself. I'd be glad to accommodate you, sir. But might I first see your papers of identity? Just a formality, of course.
I haven't any. I'll explain if you let me come aboard.
Very well. Sit beside me at the back, please.
Right.
Okay. Right. Now step on it, Corporal.
Okay, sir.
And now, Colonel, perhaps you could explain who you are.
Is it really necessary?
I'm afraid it is. Unless you prefer me to put you under arrest on suspicion. Well?
I'm an Englishman. Now, look, I don't expect you to
After 2 years in the Middle East and 18 months of this occupation business, I can believe anything.
My name is Haviland. I'm engaged on what I suppose might be called special service. You may have heard of General Boughton. He's my godfather.
Ah.
He was once in your regiment.
Yes, I've heard of the general, of course. But if you are a Russian deserter and I pass you out of the Russian zone, I shall be in for the high jump. Now, where the deuce are your papers?
I wish I knew. I'm afraid it's up to you. If you throw me out at a roadblock, you'll witness a routine volley-firing exercise. It's as simple as that. But at the same time, I give you my word that I'm neither a Russian nor a deserter.
Very well. I'll do my best for you. By the way, my name's Burke. Captain Nigel Burke. I spelt with an O, if you don't mind. We're here's hoping we have no trouble at any roadblocks. That can be quite something. Keep going, Corporal.
Yes, sir.
This is General Boughton's office, Mr. Haviland. He's waiting for you.
Thank you, Corporal.
Come.
Mr. Anthony Haviland, sir.
Thank you, Corporal. Come and sit down, Anthony, my boy. I'm glad to see you.
Glad to see you, sir.
Yes, I've been worrying about you. But I know that you have a good way of imitating the proverbial bad penny. We'll talk in a minute or two. Meanwhile, I've got this report to sign. Take a cigarette and relax.
Thank you, sir.
Good God. Double death in Zurich Hotel. It can't be.
What's that? Yes, I didn't mean you to see that before we talked.
What on earth happened?
It might have been a lot worse. That poor deaf and dumb wretch had nothing to live for. And Waters, well, he had outlived even his usefulness.
The hell with Waters? What about
the
Ingrid?
Lady you know as Ingrid Berenius? Well, following the news of her husband's death, she is as well as can be expected. And she's here in Vienna.
What actually happened?
Benedict Peters was to blame. It was his business to keep tabs on Waters and maintain contact with Andrew Murray. Apparently, he did neither. Waters took Ingrid back to the hotel after leaving you in the villa and in front of her husband made some kind of pass at her. Maimed as he was, Ingrid's husband attacked Waters and in the struggle they fell through the balcony windows to their deaths.
I see.
Yes. You've done well, Anthony. And I know you've had a pretty bad time. You must forgive me for pulling you in the first place.
So it was you.
I'm afraid so. I had no alternative. But I'll do my best to explain. The beginning of the story goes back quite a way. You may wonder why you weren't told all this at the time. The answer is that it was vital for you to go into the business without preconceived notions.
Oh, yes, of course, sir.
Well, do you feel more in the picture now?
Indeed, I do.
I'm glad, my boy. And now I suggest bed. But we may as well get this clear. Samuel Sidney is a very clever man. And not only is he still at large, but he's here in Vienna.
Is he?
And it's imperative that his early demise be organized.
But how?
Yes, that's our problem. But there's nothing like a good night's rest for helping us to find the solution. I I'm sorry to say that you're at this ungodly hour, Anthony, but there's been a development.
Ingrid?
Yes.
Where is she, for God's sake?
Well, she was in a room in my own billets. Benedict Peters was in the building also, in the capacity of watchdog. They both went out during the night. And as my official card has disappeared, I think it reasonable to conclude that they took it. I'm afraid they've gone after Samuel Sidney. They left a note to that effect.
Then I'm going after them.
You're doing nothing of the kind, Anthony.
I'm sorry.
Sit down. Captain Burke here is under my orders to prevent you from leaving this room. By force, if necessary. Do you understand? Oh, excuse me. Borton here. Yes? Yes. Very well, yes. Bring him up.
Him?
Mr. Samuel Sidney is downstairs now, and apparently wishes to see me.
But what about Peters and Ingrid?
Oh, they're with him. Now, when they arrive, and this applies to you both, I want you to leave things entirely to me. Now, Mr. Sidney, what can I do for you?
Firstly, send that woman away.
I beg your pardon?
If you remember, sir, we agreed that it was necessary for us to see Mr. Sidney in the zone under British control. We have brought him to you, that is all.
I see. Thank you, Miss Berenius. Now, forgive me if I ask you and Mr. Peters to wait downstairs, if you will.
Very well, sir.
Certainly.
Yeah, I shall want you to stay, Anthony. And, of course, you, Buck.
Yes, sir.
Now, Mr. Sidney, I do not understand your motives for wanting to see me. I imagine, however, that you have forgotten that murder is an extraditable offence and that you are wanted in Great Britain on just such a charge.
This is fantastic. And whom am I supposed to have murdered?
Inspector Murray will charge you with the murder of Felix Lenatovich in a flat in Monk's Row, London, during the night or early morning of September 9th, 10th, 1945.
You know perfectly well that Lenatovich was killed by a professional crook called Labriola. I am innocent. I demand safe conduct back to the Russian zone.
I believe the evidence against you to be very complete.
Then it is manufactured evidence. Is this your boasted British justice?
Mr. Sidney, you may not have murdered Lenatovich with your own hands, but you are directly responsible for other deaths, hundreds and probably thousands. It may not be British justice, but it is the justice of humanity and civilization that you should pay with your life for one death that you may not even have planned or desired.
I demand that I be returned to the Russian zone of occupation where your charges against me may be investigated in proper form.
Your demand is refused. In any case, it's doubtful if the Russian government would make an issue of an affair involving the misbehavior and incompetence of one of its representatives.
This is
my advice to you is not to press your demands or your luck too far. There is such a thing as jumping out of the frying pan into the fire. Take him away, Captain Burke.
Yes, sir.
That wasn't quite the end of the story. General Borton's appointment to Vienna finished as suddenly as it had begun. He departed again for the Middle East. As he had foreseen, the Russian government blandly ignored the singular disappearance of their newly appointed political and economic adviser. Some 10 days after Samuel Sidney, successful in his insistence to be returned to the Russian zone, had left London, a press report from the TASS agency announced that he had died of a heart attack. I'm afraid that I remain skeptical about that heart attack to this day. The truth, I imagine, may never be known. So the original members of the Monk's Row gathering were either dead or scattered. Ingrid and I, however, stayed on in Vienna. I had been overwhelmingly moved by the apparently insoluble tragedy of the displaced persons of Central and Eastern Europe, and had come to the conclusion that it was my business to do something about it. Through the good offices of Nigel Burke, Ingrid and I met Janet Colville, who, during the war itself, worked with the resistance, and also Israel Marks, an American rabbi, who, together, ran a camp for displaced persons. It was just before Christmas that Janet decided to hold a party for the children of the camp, the first Christmas Eve of peacetime. It was bitterly cold. There was a thin powdering of snow on the roofs. An icy wind was blowing, and the bare branches of the trees glittered under a full moon as Ingrid and I walked through the empty and echoing streets towards the camp.
We shall have to step it out, Ingrid, or the party will be over by the time we get there. It's nearly 8 o'clock.
That's the idea. Janet didn't want us until it was. I said we'd help her with the clearing up.
Oh, I see.
What do you think of Janet?
I suppose she's one of the most remarkable women I've ever met.
Yes. If anyone could ever be called a true Christian, it would be Janet Colville. Oh, I think we'd better cross here. We're nearly opposite the gate.
What about the night watchman?
He ought to know us by now.
The rabbis said the party would be held in the largest of the huts. I think it must be the one by Nigel Burke's jeep.
Ah.
Yes, this is it.
Oh, Janet said when we arrived, we were to walk straight in.
Your coats and your presents.
I'm so glad you could come. And for offering us a hand.
Not at all, Janet. I'm glad to be of help. You must be utterly exhausted.
Oh, good gracious, I can't be exhausted yet. We've got this hut to clear up first. Some of the older children are staying behind, too. The more, the merrier. Perhaps you could organize the labor force, Anthony.
Of course. We'll be delighted, won't we, Ingrid? Oh, where is Ingrid?
She's gone to see some of the younger ones to their quarters. She'll be back in a minute. Now, come on, you older ones. I shall want some help with these chairs and tables. Oh, here's Ingrid now. Who on earth is that with her?
I found him at the camp gate, crouching over the watchman's brazier. I was afraid he might break into one of the huts, so I brought him here. I didn't know what else to do.
You were quite right, my dear.
Shall I take charge of him?
We can't turn him out into the cold, obviously. After all, it is Christmas Eve.
Look at him! Look at him! Let's put this cap on him! And this moustache! There!
Boys! Boys, be quiet! What do you think you're doing?
Look at him!
Do you see that, Ingrid? Does that wretch remind you of anyone in that ridiculous get-up?
There is no doubt, is there? There, at long last, stands the object of our quest.
No doubt at all. Come along, my friend. Outside in the yard is the place for you.
What have you done with the stranger, Anthony?
Over there, floundering towards the gate. Do you see him? Black against the snow.
You mean you let him go? But surely...
It's no good. I couldn't do it.
You may be right. There's nothing for any of us to do. Not even Dante's hell imagined the endurance of the laughter of children. All the children in a freezing world. Yet he, even if it was he, made that hell for himself with his own hands.
In Search for Satan by Val Gilgood, adapted for radio by David H. Godfrey from the author's novel Fall of a Sparrow, the part of Anthony Haviland was played by John Rowe, Ingrid Berenius by Carol Boyd, and Samuel Sidney by Douglas Blackwell. Felix Lenartovich, Dennis McCarthy, Benedict Peters, Michael Siegel, Gabriel Waters and the stranger, Garrard Green. Sergeant Carruthers, Roger Snowden. Inspector Murray, Simon Lack. Ladislas Sale, Malcolm Hayes, who also played the waiter and the Russian guard. Franz Schelder and foreign man, Hayden Jones. The newsboy and the first child, Jill Schilling. The first Jewish traveller and the corporal, Christopher Bidmead. The rabbi, Nigel Lambert, who also played the second Jewish traveller and the hotel receptionist. Young woman and second child, Rosalind Adams. Leopold Schwarzenberg, David March. Captain Burke, Anthony Smee. General Borton and the taxi driver, Alan Dudley. Janet Colville, Maddie Head. The producer was David H. Godfrey.